Welcome to Picnic Climbers, a podcast for those who love getting outside,
going on epic adventures,
or chill ones,
and don't take themselves too seriously. Join us, Nate and Mo,
as we share our escapades into the great outdoors.
And don't forget the beer, eh?
Hello, and welcome to Picnic Climbers. Today, we're quite excited to talk about New Zealand! So, you've probably noticed that we've mentioned New Zealand a few times.
Just keep going on about it, don't we?
Yeah, we love it. We really do. If you haven't been, go when, you know, travel is allowed. And if you live there, lucky you. It's a beautiful, beautiful place. And it had been my dream to go to New Zealand for a long time. And when we got married, we didn't have a lot of plans or things to do.
No, we did not.
And we worked for a while. For a while, I mean 3 months, and then decided that, you know what, we've got enough savings, we want to explore, we want to run away maybe a little bit. And so we decided to travel, and we had two options. We either were going to go all over America, weren't we, and see all the national parks, or we were going to go to New Zealand, and the plan for either one was to live in a van. So today, I think we're going to talk a little bit more about why we chose New Zealand, what we did, what it was like, and just share more of the background so that when we tell other stories about climbing or hiking or huts or whatever we end up talking about in the future, you'll know a little bit about why we were there.
It just gives a little bit more context, yeah, is what we're hoping to do with this, isn't it? So we went to New Zealand in the start of 2018. So it was January 2018 that we went out there, which is, of course, their summer, because the New Zealand season is flipped. And we came back in May. So we were there for about 4.5 months. And yeah, so Monica, why don't you start? Just like, what was the purpose of the trip? Like, you kind of said that New Zealand is beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
And we went there because of the natural beauty. I guess explain a little bit about like the process of getting there and kind of some of the other things that we had to consider before we went.
Right. Okay. So we didn't do all that much planning. You have to do the basics. We bought travel insurance and we had to get visas, and we were at the right age to get that lovely working visa for 2 years.
Working holiday visa.
Working holiday visa, yeah.
So how did that work?
So you had to be, what was it, 20 to 26?
Yes, I think it was, yes.
Something like that.
Under the age of 25 or 26.
Yeah, and you apply and you can get it, and you get to be there, live there, and work there for 2 years, up to 2 years. So we went for 4.5 months, but we were originally planning on going for longer. And so we wanted to give ourselves the options of working. If you don't get that, if you didn't get that visa, you were maxed out at 3 months, I think.
Yeah, you were.
And we definitely wanted to be there longer than that. And we didn't know if we would run out of money. So we thought, if we can work and get a job here and there, that might be good. Because the trip ended up being shorter than we originally planned, we never actually got a job because we wanted to make the most of the months that we were there. And honestly, we could have been there twice as long and found things to do and not worked.
Oh, absolutely. We just didn't want to tie ourselves down and stay in the same place for too long, really,
yeah,
did we? So the thing that we were most, one of the things that we were most excited for when we were first arriving was this prospect of living in a van. I mean, we'd thrown around the idea kind of in our first few months of marriage of like how fun it would be to live in a van full time and live in a van sort of year round and that sort of thing. And this was kind of going to be our opportunity to give it a try and see how it went. So we arrived in, and there's already a really well-established van life culture in New Zealand, isn't
mm-hmm.
there?
Yeah.
So that was one of the things that made it as appealing as it was, is that New Zealand has got a very well-established van living community.
Which I think the locals will definitely say that there's pros and cons too. Zealand thrives off of tourism, and van life is a massive part of that. We were definitely like the dirtbag cheap end of that. We bought our own van. We'll talk more about that. But you can also rent a camper van and live out of that. And that is a lucrative business from what we understand.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's done really well. And there's a lot of apps and that will show you camping sites and will show you availabilities and will show you where water stations are and waste stations and this and that and where free camping is and where all the information you could possibly want on apps. And it, yeah, it's just so well set up.
So we did the really well established thing as international travelers, where we came into the country and we bought a van from a traveller who was leaving on Facebook Marketplace. And then actually at the end of our stay, we also sold it on to someone who was new arriving. So, I mean, these vans, they get passed around so many times before the end of their life, which probably brings them to a sad, premature end. But I don't like to think about that.
She was perfect when we had her.
So we bought a Mitsubishi L300, which is, I think it started life as, well, definitely started its life as a work van. Mm-hmm. It was beautiful, bright red, this thing. And it had been converted a few times before we had it, obviously. And it had everything that we needed. It had the coveted self-contained status, which basically means this particular status given to camper vans that have toilets and fresh and grey water within them, and it allows you greater flexibility of camping locations within the country. So we knew we wanted one of with this sort of self-contained status, and it, yes, it had a couple of these things. Yeah. Mo, why don't you just kind of describe the van? Tell us a little bit about what this van had.
Okay, so yeah, so that the self-contained essentially meant that we could get in, shut the doors, and not leave for 3 days. That's what that meant. So we didn't need to have a campsite. We didn't need any facilities. We were completely self-sufficient. Now, when you said it had everything we needed, I think it stopped at that. Yeah. It was not glamorous. Nothing fit together perfectly. It was not polished. It was not smooth. It was cute from a distance, but it was not glamorous. We couldn't stand up in it, which I think if we were going to do this full time, long term, that would be the first thing we'd look for, is something high enough that you can stand, because on the rainy days, that's what got old first, I think, was crouching. But anyway, I'll backtrack. So it was a beautiful little red van. It had a door on either side, which ended up making a huge difference.
Like a side door.
Yeah, a side door on either side, and a trunk door that could open from inside, which 10 out of 10 would recommend, because sunrises, while your hubby makes you a cup of coffee and you swing open the back and all of a sudden there's the ocean and oh my goodness, I want to go back. Okay, so the kitchen was behind the driver's seat, which I think there's two main ways of doing these smaller camper vans, which would be the kitchen in the boot with the kitchen in the trunk. So when you open the door...
You are getting yours all over the place.
I know.
The trunk 1 minute, it's a boot the next minute. I love it.
I don't know who
You've
I am.
You've obviously been in this country for... Long enough to properly be confused. Confuse yourself.
Anyway, the back of the vehicle, so that when you open the trunk door, your kitchen's there. Now, that's great because the inside has more room, but it means you have to be outside to cook. And we wanted to be able to be inside to cook and not leave for the rainy days because we were going to be there for multiple seasons. Yeah. And also, it's just nice to not have to, you know, get dressed before making your morning coffee. So our kitchen was right behind the driver's seats. So it went the front seats, then we had a little cabinet and the stove was right behind the seats. Mm-hmm. And then we had a sink and a garbage can right behind the driver's seat. And then there was just a bit of floor space on the other side. And by a bit, I like mean 2 feet by 2 feet maybe. Mm. And then the rest of the back of the van was made up by a bed. The bed could be converted into two benches and a table with just the middle of it popped up on a stand.
Yeah.
And so we had storage under the beds as well, cupboards.
Like those lift compartments.
Yeah, sides. We rarely did that. We mostly just left it as a bed. We put some valuables, like we had a laptop, and then we had kind of thicker layers and certain backpacking equipment. So then when we were going on a trip, we would take the van apart and get all our stuff out. Mm-hmm. But most of the stuff we were using day by day just went in the shelving that was readily available. So we had kind of a makeshift shelf running along the roof of the van just below. So we stuffed all our shirts. And we stuffed all our clothing up there. Yeah, it was brilliant. And then we had a little shelving compartment behind the non-driver's seat as well. So I think we had food in the bottom, pots and pans and dishes and odds and ends in the middle. And then at the top, it was like our toothbrushes and stuff.
Yeah, I think that the van had really good accessible storage, because mm-hmm. I think one of the things when considering vans is you can squirrel away all sorts of things in odd compartments here, there and everywhere, but in your day-to-day living, the thing that makes it makes living in a larger yeah. house or a larger space more convenient is being able to have things readily accessible. And yeah. I think one of the hardest things with vans is having it right there.
Yeah.
And so this small shelf that we had above, running along the edge of the bed, I mean, it meant that sitting up was really awkward because it did lower the roof height even more
yeah.
on the one side. But like Monica said, it just all of our clothing was up
yeah.
there. And then we had, these three or four shelves in our sort of kitchen space for all of our groceries, all of our spices,
yeah.
say all of our toiletries, and another big section for our pots and pans.
Yeah. And the bed just becomes everything. Like we chopped our veggies on the bed and we cooked sitting off the end of the bed. And then we ate on the bed and we read on the bed and we played games on the bed. And obviously we slept in the bed. And we just didn't bother. It was too much effort, really, to set it up into that bench system. So one time we had friends into the van on a rainy night.
We invited some people over.
Where we played cards and drank wine. And then we set up the little bench thing, and that was fun. But for the most part, it was just easier to leave it as is. And it was amazing. Everything that we needed was just right there. So yeah, often in the morning, Nate would hop up, turn the stove on, make coffee. I would swing the back open to let some fresh air in and just chill. And we'd have breakfast in bed every day.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I guess just talking about maybe some of the specifics of the other like things that the van had.
Mm-hmm.
So when we say, you mentioned there we have a stove. So we had a two burner camp stove, basically, is what
yeah.
it was. So we could fold it down, pop it up. It was not attached to anything. So although we bungeed it down when
yeah.
we were moving. So we were able to, on nice weather days, actually take it fully out of the van and cook outside. We had a small gas bottle, which
yeah.
was easily removable and refillable.
Mm-hmm.
And then our sink, we had two tanks underneath the sink, which one of them was for fresh water, one of them was for grey water, and a hand pump sink, which was convenient and cheap and easy.
Yeah.
But and if you needed anything else, of course, you'd need a motor, but it worked. It just meant that obviously pumping water or any sort of washing up or anything was a bit of a two-hands job. The one thing that I think I would have liked to have had that we didn't have in this van is a leisure battery.
Yeah.
Which would have been so convenient, because all of our charging was done through the main battery of the van. So we just had to be a little bit careful that we didn't, like, I don't know, charge the laptop, and then all of our phones and all of our devices
yeah.
and everything without running the van for a little while, because we wouldn't want to obviously run the battery flat. So a leisure battery, it just means it's basically a second battery which charges off of the main battery when you're running the van. But when you're using the leisure battery, like you won't run the main battery flat.
Yeah. Yeah. So that would have been nice. But there you go. We were self-contained and we lived in this van. And it was great. And when we pulled off onto a field off the highway or right next to the beach, we did have everything that we needed right then and there, and we didn't
mm-hmm.
need anything else. That being said, we did splurge often enough and go to a nice campsite, and we would take all our dishes out and wash them in hot water
mm-hmm.
with soap properly, because that squirt sink thing yeah. with our little sink that the big pot didn't even fit into, like, it was fine, it did okay,
it
but
worked.
Yeah. But it was nice to have an actual kitchen that we could stand up in, and it was
mm-hmm.
nice to shower. That's the one thing we didn't do well in the van. And I know that there's shower systems you can get that are solar powered that you stick on the roof, and then you've got a hose that drop down, and we didn't really bother, did
no.
we? We either went swimming or we paid a few dollars to have a shower in some sort of center.
Yeah, it's van living is so much easier in warmer weather,
mm-hmm.
I think. And it's when you have days and days of rain that it gets quite challenging, as we found towards the end of our
yeah.
trip, as we arrived in the height of summer and we left getting on towards winter, and certainly while the first couple of months we couldn't have been any better.
Oh no. Certainly. And we couldn't imagine ever not loving it.
Oh, absolutely. By the end, it was a bit cold, quite wet, and simple things like washing, like laundry. Yeah. We would go to laundrettes, or we would stay at campgrounds that had laundry facilities that we could use. But then we had to dry the clothes and it often in an unfortunately position of like hanging wet clothes around the van, which was just less ideal. Yeah. And then it took days for those to dry when it's not very warm and it's raining outside.
Yeah. Yeah, because we had very, very few. I'll just explain why we didn't just pop them in the dryer. We had very few clothes because we had very few things in general. And because we wanted to do a lot of climbing, a lot of our luggage was dedicated to climbing gear and ropes and helmets and massive hiking boots and all the kind of...
Camp stove.
Camps, yeah, everything we needed to do what we wanted to do. So things like clothes and toiletries and comfort things was... very limited. So we had one of everything. I had one pair of jeans, one pair of shorts, one t-shirt, one tank top, one long sleeve, and then all of those in kind of like technical hiking gear things. So all of our clothing, we did invest in really good quality merino wool or technical clothing, which doesn't love dryers. So yeah, it did mean just hanging things up over the backs of chairs and all over the van, and it would just get so... foggy,
musty,
yucky, anyway. And then we had a big clean out when the sun came out again, so it was fine again. But I think it wasn't glamorous, but anyway, there you go.
It's, you just gotta take the good with the bad, and the good was very, very good.
It was.
What were some of the quirks that our van had? I mean, we haven't mentioned what her name was.
Okay.
And like, what about the interior decor? Like,
yeah, so we named our van Harriet LaRouge. And we called her Hattie for short. Le Rouge is French for the red, in case you don't know.
It's something new every day, eh? Especially most of our Canadian listeners would learn that however many years ago in elementary school. Thank you, my dear.
Yeah, you're welcome. Because she was a massive red van, obviously. But then the inside, someone had decided at some point that she was Parisian. So there was... like curtains on the inside to pull closed pretty much 360 around the van for a bit of privacy and darkness. And they were all this weird Parisian fabric with like classic lady in a poodle skirt with teeny waist, big red, and a parasol and these dainty heels. Ooh, la, and that. La. And yeah, there was stickers everywhere that said ooh la la and French poodles and Eiffel Towers. Yeah. Yeah, it was so strange. And yeah, je t'aime written in sticky. Yeah, it was
croissant.
Yeah, it's a exactly. So I'm not sure why, but somebody decided or just liked French things and painted everything red and put up French curtains and French stickers. So that is why it was Hattie LaRouge. That was the name. That was the quirks.
Mm.
Yeah.
So what? Okay. So we acquired the van. Like we got the van in within the first 2 weeks of arriving. We were in the lucky position in that we were able to bunk with the parents of one of our good friends for a couple of weeks. And that gave us the time to set up, acquire the van, do everything that we needed to it. And we then hit the road, didn't we?
Yeah.
And what was our itinerary? What do we do?
Right. So New Zealand is made up of two islands. The North Island, which is a bit more tropical, very Lord of the Ringsy, and then the South Island, which is a bit more temperate, a bit more what you might find in certain parts of BC. So the goal was to circumnavigate everything and do as much as possible. So
we wanted to see the whole country.
Yeah.
So we looked at a map. It's tiny. Canada's
tiny.
Big.
Yeah. And we thought we could do it. And there's just so much to see. So we landed in Auckland and our friends lived in Hamilton, which was a few hours south.
About an hour. An hour.
Of the North Island. So kind of in the middle of the North Island. So as soon as we got the van, the goal was to go all the way south. So get to the South Island and then work all our way south down the West Coast and then up the East Coast and then explore the North Island because of weather. So the South Island gets colder and has a real winter where the North Island stays a bit more tropical. So we thought while it's summer, go to the colder place. And then when it's fall, moving into colder temperatures, we'll come back to the warm place and just drag out the warmth as much as we can, which I would do the exact same thing again. That worked out for us really well. We kind of had fall for 2 months as we just worked our way back north and hung on to those warmer temperatures. So yeah, we did a big trip that first few days. We took the ferry over, which was beautiful, and then explored the north part of the South Island, which I think was the highlight, the most beautiful few weeks. Golden Bay, Marlborough Sounds, excellent climbing. It was incredible. Lots of beaches.
Yeah, it was fantastic. It was
so good. Yeah, so, and then we did that. I'm sure we'll share more stories about actual trips, but we worked our way down West Coast, and every once in a while we kind of go inland because that's where the mountain ranges were. Mm-hmm. So a few episodes ago we talked about the horrible hiking trip in the rain. That was in the middle of the South Island in Nelson Lakes National Park, which was a very rainy few days. But we had some glorious trips after that, backpacking in the mountains.
We got all the way as far south as the most southern tip of the South Island, didn't we?
We were closer to the South Pole than the equator.
Yeah.
Which was quite cool. yeah, we did. And we got to one of the northernest parts, not the northernest tip because there's so many islands. But yeah, I've got screenshots of Google Maps of us here, there, and everywhere at the north and the south ends. Yeah, so then we just pretty much the whole trip was kind of going back and forth between climbing and hiking with a fair amount of beach days in between and whatever kind of the local things to do were. And we looked at a few cities and enjoyed a few days bumming around towns, but mostly we would go into a city to restock.
Yes.
And then we'd head back out again.
Cities were really challenging, weren't they? And we're going to get on to kind of traveling on a budget in a little bit here, but just from a logistical van living perspective, cities were hard. We couldn't, they weren't any sort of cheap or free campgrounds unless you were going to dodgily park up in front of a construction site, which we just never really... Or like a
grocery store, but you get harassed.
Yeah.
And we weren't into that.
No, there was just some unfortunate stories of people being, like you say, harassed overnight in campgrounds and, in
parking lots.
Car parks. Yeah. And it wasn't quite as acceptable to sort of just park up, throw the doors open, and kind of just hang out in the van. Whereas if we were in the countryside, the middle of nowhere, we were very happy doing that sort of thing. Cities are also expensive, and living on the budget that we were on, we were just so tempted to spend money
whenever we went
into any sort of city.
Cute coffee shops were our absolute weakness because hot coffee that we don't have to make, and pastries and warm food, and okay, so should we talk about our budget and then menu?
I think so we were there for 4.5 months, and while we had the capability to work, we didn't really want to.
We weren't there to
travel and to see as much of it as we possibly could. So we, like Monica said at the beginning, we'd worked some pretty well-paid jobs for a few months and put absolutely everything away that we could in the months before we went to New Zealand, and that meant that we were in a fairly good financial position before going, but we were still pretty limited in our budget. So what was our budget? And then let's break it down as to what we spent on each category.
So I read a lot of blogs in preparing for this trip and tried to get a good idea. I wanted to go in with a realistic expectation of what we could do. And I came across a few people that said you can absolutely do it on a budget, $40 a day. So that was kind of the ballpark. Now there were two of us, but I thought because shared, petrol and shared campsites and everything, we could do it for $30 a day each. So that became our budget. So our budget combined was about $60. It didn't work out.
$65.
So we went on a monthly budget. No, sorry, we went on a weekly budget.
$485 a week. And just at the beginning when we... So at the time, the New Zealand and the Canadian dollar were pretty much equivalent.
Yeah.
So when we say, $485 a week, yeah, that's pretty comparable to Canadian.
Which is like 250 pounds-ish?
Yeah,
so it's not a lot. We could do it. We could just get by.
What did that work out as? What was our... So our categories we gave ourselves... So in our per day, we had... And this was a total, wasn't it? This wasn't each. Per day, we had $20 for food, for groceries. Yeah. We gave ourselves $15 for gas. We gave ourselves $20 for accommodation. and we gave ourselves $5 for activities.
With the thinking that, you know, most of our activities are free. We have our own gear. If we're going to go rock climbing, it's going to be free. If we're going to go hiking, it's kind of going to be free. And then so that spread out over the month could let us do a few activities like a tour or something.
It did mean that my greatest regret was not spending the $80 each that it would have cost us to go to Hobbiton.
We wanted to, and everybody goes to Hobbiton when you're in New Zealand. If you've seen Lord of the Rings and you're a fan, that's what you do. You go and it's cute. You get a picture by the little green door and you have a big beer in the tavern or whatever. But we just looked at it and it was $80 each.
Yeah.
And that was our budget for a long time.
Just about three days.
Yeah, yeah. And that without eating or, you know, buying anything. So we just couldn't quite justify it with the budget. Yeah. What we maybe should have done is had a weekly budget and then had a small pot for extravagant extras. Mm. Because something else we didn't budget for was any sort of souvenirs or
car repairs.
And we had a few car repairs. We bought a few things to take home with us, which as we should, we don't regret that. But there was no room in our $5 activity budget for that kind of thing. So yeah, we did make some sacrifices. We didn't do the typical things that a lot of people do.
But it's because we were there for such a long time. And yeah, the people that were going to doing the like glowworm caves or skydiving or river rafting and those kinds of things, they were there for a 2-week holiday. And we just got to see so much more of the country. And yes, we had to make some sacrifices, but you do it at any point in life. And we learned how to treat ourselves within our budget, didn't we? Yeah. So that, you know, that like...
Going for a coffee shop lunch. I mean, our daily budget.
So that was the one thing that I forgot. I meant to say at the end, then I didn't say at the end. But yeah, our eating out. We've got written down here that we gave ourselves $6.67 a day. And that's just because we reckoned we could have $45 a week.
Yeah.
Which was kind of like 2 cheap coffee shop lunches a week.
Yeah.
Was kind of what it worked out as.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah. No, that's all I was going to say. I was going to say, if you go into a coffee shop and get a $15, $20 lunch between the two of us, you know, a coffee and a small sandwich or whatever.
It adds up.
It adds up. And we kept tallies of our entire budget. We're looking at right now, just in pen and paper, added it up at the end of every week. And writing down 15 when it wasn't a whole grocery shop was just like that eats very quickly into a $60 a day budget. But the way we saved it was we didn't cook nice food, did we?
I wouldn't say that we didn't cook nice food. We ate vegetarian.
Yeah.
Pretty as much as we possibly could.
Yeah.
Meat was a luxury, but we had to kind of eat like that because we didn't have any sort of fridge or anything.
We didn't have a fridge. Yeah.
We also, like I said, we had $20 for accommodation a day. Mm-hmm. Now, the standard in New Zealand is we had the options to us was, it ended up being, we could get a night for free.
Mm-hmm.
And we tried to go with that as much as we could. If it wasn't free, it was more than likely going to be $10 per person. So if we did that 3 times a week, that was kind of, and then free a couple of times a week. And then if we went up to kind of the luxury camping accommodation that would have had the like amenities like washing facilities and showers and things, those were more likely $20
each
per person.
Yeah.
And so if we wanted to stay at one of those to do washing, to have showers, we had to make sure that we had a few cheaper days in the week as well.
Yeah, and it did work out pretty well. And we didn't shower very often, and we didn't do washing very often. And it was good if we could find a couple free nights in a row, and then we could treat ourselves to a shower. And you get creative. We swam strategically, and we went to swimming pools when they were cheap and available, and we went to a few community centers.
Yeah.
And some dock huts would be like coin showers. We showered together always because it was cheaper, and that was good. And we had a shower routine so good, like, okay, it's your turn in the water. I'm shampooing. Okay, switch, swap, like really quickly so that we could rinse. It was not cute.
But it was kind of funny because, we'd go to these like, these showers, it would be these coin operated showers, and it would be, you know, $1 for 6 minutes or like $2 for 10 minutes or something like that. We're like, oof, we don't need the 10 minutes.
No.
We can do it. And the odd time when it would just be like unlimited, you know, you'd pay $1 or $2. And I think there was a leisure centre down in Wanaka.
Yeah,
if you remember.
I remember that.
It was really fancy, really brand new leisure centre.
And you could just go in for a shower.
Yeah.
And we split up because it was boys and girls.
Yeah.
And I think it was like, see you in half an hour.
Yeah.
And we took our time. Yeah. And sometimes we smelled. And often I had hairy legs. And that's just how it went.
Yes, perfect. It was what we went for. It was how we
You didn't shave.
At all. No, it did not look good either. But there we are.
Whatever.
Yeah. So we found that... We were able to live on the budget. Anything that went above and beyond that were things that we brought home with us because they're things that we still have, whether on a bookshelf or on display somewhere, and things that we're very proud of and the things that we remember. So living wise, like $35 a day each is not a lot of money. Mm-hmm. And yes, I mean, had the car, the van like blown up on us, we would have been in trouble. But thankfully
it's a lot of days of not eating to make up that, but
thankfully it didn't, and you know, we went really well. So like we've said here a number of times, like our goal was the outdoor adventures and the community, and like Monica said, we've already spoken about Travis Sabine. Is that the only one we've actually talked about so far?
I think so. We've mentioned maybe in passing, but yeah,
okay, so we've only really scratched the surface on our New Zealand adventures then. But there was one of the again, coming back to the original reason why we went to New Zealand, is because it had so much to offer us in terms of climbing, in terms of hiking, and...
just natural beauty.
Yeah, and it's so set up for this, isn't it? So there were so many things that we got to look forward to and do. So do you want to just, again, not going into too much detail at the moment, but like, how is New Zealand, I suppose, the ideal place for a traveling outdoorsman?
I mean, first of all, it's just small, I think, especially the South Island, which we did end up spending most of our time on the South Island, and then we wish we had more time on the North Island because some of the most beautiful beaches and different things that we just didn't get to. But the South Island in particular, it's long and narrow, and the mountain range goes down the middle. So we literally could just drive down the coast, and anytime we wanted to do some hikes, we'd pop in to the mountain range or the park that we wanted to. We would do a week of hiking or a big trip, and we could be back on the beach
within
2 hours. And so that was perfect. The weather was amazing. The weather was super variable. So we did get a lot of rain, but we also got a lot of beautiful weather.
Yeah, we did.
But there's not that many people. It was busy for travelers. And I think the places that get advertised were very busy often.
Yeah, they were.
But then we didn't do too much of that stuff because most of the time it didn't really fit in the budget. We were there to climb and to hike. Now, New Zealand hiking is definitely world famous, and it should be. Yeah. Like, the tramps are incredible. There's the 10 Great Walks. Are there 10? Are there 20? There's a bunch of Great Walks.
No, there's only
7
or 8.
7 or 8. Okay. There's a bunch of Great Walks, which you pay more to go on, but they are incredible. Like, some of the most stunning scenery. Definitely you've seen photos, just in stock photos from different places. I mean, the windows background is a beach in New Zealand, and that was classic for a while. And when we got there, we're like, hey, we know this.
We've been to the windows then beach, because no one could pronounce what the beach is actually called.
Ferakiki?
Oh, well done.
Thank you. I might be wrong, but I think it's that. And the climbing was not world class, and we weren't really expecting it to be, but it was still good. It was decent. And I think we did more hiking than climbing, and there were some excellent climbing spots that we really enjoyed. One place in particular.
Well, so you mentioned Golden Bay at the start.
Yeah.
And that was kind of the first couple of weeks of us being in the van, first time on the South Island. What made part of that so special was really this climbing camp that is relatively small. Yeah, it's relatively small and probably relatively insignificant, but it just had such cool vibes, and so many amazing people end up there. So yeah, Hang Dog camp in Golden Bay, and just like, there were all sorts of people that were there, and you kind of like basically hitch a ride there, because a lot of people didn't have vans, and or if you had a van, you'd turn up, meet your ballet partner for the next day, and then out you go. You were within walking distance of these limestone crags, and you're right, they weren't standout, they weren't world class, but you could have a couple of really fun days.
Definitely.
And then you were right close to the beach.
Yeah, and it was, we had some climbs that were just incredible, like on the side, and you could see the beach from the top, and yeah, so when you had your lunch break, you'd go hop in the ocean and rinse off.
Wonderful.
And it was so fun. It was absolutely glorious, and there was a river, and so you did a bit of non-deep water soloing, and just good time, really, and you camped together, and cooked meals together, and a lot of sharing of beer and stories, and it was a good time. We made quite a few friends there, and just had a good time.
We did. So as well as that, you mentioned the great walks, I think the other thing that makes hiking in New Zealand, of course they were termed tramping, so accessible and so great, is they've ever since they've got this Department of Conservation DOC that really runs everything in terms of the national parks, and they're so well run, and they have, ever since DOC's inception, been building this network of backcountry huts, which we have mentioned already on this podcast, and the huts are wonderful, and they're all over the place. You see a range of hills, and there is going to be huts in there, and it just gives you so much more freedom in terms of, you know, you can hike in for longer. It's so comfortable.
You don't have to bring a tent, so you can pack lighter, and it's convenient. Yeah, you can dry your clothes if it rains for 6 days.
And some of them are get used so heavily, they're very, very busy, that, you know, it's particularly in some of the really famous areas, but some of them, and when we were in huts and it was just the two of us, and we didn't see anybody else the entire time that we were out there, some of them are used by local hunters more than international travelers. It's just such a wonderful range, and I mean, we bought these hut passes, and for, I think it was, what was the cost of them? Actually, I've probably got it in front of me here, don't I?
Yeah.
As soon as I got a budget. Whatever it was.
$90 or something?
I think you're right. I think it was something like $90.
For 6 months or something?
Yeah. And then you had unlimited number of nights.
Except on the Great Walks.
Huts. Yeah, so there were particular ones that you still had to pay for above and beyond.
Yeah.
But 90% of the huts in New Zealand, you were able to stay in for free.
Yeah.
Which was a...
With the hut pass, yeah. Which is exactly what we did when we were like, oh no, we're out of money for this week. Well, let's go find a hut to stay in. And
closest to the trailhead as possible.
Yeah, you can't spend money when you're up a mountain. And you bring along the food that you got and you stay in a hut for free with the pass. Yeah, so that was amazing and really worth it. It was so fun reading the hut logs too, so every time you go to one, there's a big kind of guest book type thing. You put in your details and the conditions and whatever, and write little notes, and so you could look back at where in the world people who had stayed in there recently had been, and how many people come and go, and write funny notes to each other. And sometimes you'd find like gorgeous art pieces, like sketches of the mountain range in them, and it was so good.
Super good, yeah.
And often you could kind of make it to a hut, dump your pack, and then kind of go explore the surrounding area and the peaks or the waterfalls. And it was just like all of a sudden you live in the mountains.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. So there's one final thing that I think needs a mention when we talk about New Zealand. And it's probably the thing that pops up on our spending list, on our budget, more than anything else. Ice cream.
Guys, they sell ice cream in the, like, everywhere. Convenience shop or stop or corner store or gas station or just everywhere. They'll have like scoop ice cream, and good quality scoop ice cream.
And cheap too.
Cheap, good quality scoop ice cream everywhere you go.
What's the brand called? I'm going to embarrass myself now.
I don't know, but Hokey Pokey Man, Hokey Pokey Ice Cream. 10 out of 10. Oh, delicious. So we did buy ice cream a lot, probably more than any other thing, didn't we?
Yeah.
We got a lot of fish and chips as well. And that was pretty much what we got out, because that was the cheap options.
Tip top.
Tip top,
that's what it was, isn't it? There we go. Good old Google search.
Tip top ice cream.
Oh, I'm sorry that I forgot that.
That's okay.
So yeah. So that's our trip in a nutshell, really, wasn't it?
Yeah, those are the nuts and bolts of it, and I mean that's the shell, really. That doesn't really touch all the adventures that we had and all that we did.
No, there is so much, isn't there?
We can't even have highlights. I think I don't even know what to say.
And no, and I suppose, I mean, the purpose of us talking about this today is not, well, hopefully not, well, I guess for us it's reliving a few memories, but ideally, I suppose it's for anyone listening, you know, van living, yes, it's possible, traveling on a budget, yes, it's, you know, yes, yeah, it's possible, and if you know, you have any more questions about that, please get in touch with us. If you know, you wonder how we did certain things, it is challenging. I mean, yes, I know there are so many people out there who've lived in vans for years, and we only did it for 4.5 months, mm-hmm, but I think there are things that we could have done better, things that we obviously could have done worse as well, and we did really, really enjoy it, didn't we?
We had our first anniversary, our first wedding anniversary on this trip. I think it was very much a crash course of right, you got married, do you actually know this person, let's put you in a tiny vehicle and see if that, like, the only time we ever were not with each other was when we were going to the bathroom, and we even did that together sometimes because there's not exactly a bathroom in a van. Yeah. You do have a toilet. So yeah, it was just super relationship building, mm-hmm, I think, bonding experience.
Yeah, it was.
A growing experience. I think you were probably overall happier with certain of the challenges. I didn't like smelling. I didn't like being dirty.
No, or wet.
Or wet. And that's the thing with tiny living. Everything gets dirty very quickly. You spend a lot of time cleaning if that's what you want. If you want clean.
Yeah.
And I'm sure we'll talk more about details here and there and everywhere. But yeah.
So if you have experienced tiny living yourself, if you've either lived in a van or a tiny house or anything like that, we would really love to hear from you and hear some of your experiences, and maybe we could get you to come and share some of your experiences. If you have experience traveling on a budget and have done things more, you know, more successfully than us, we would, mm-hmm, love to hear from you and some of your stories and some of your experiences. So yes, please do get in touch. You can contact us through Gmail with our email is picnicclimbers@gmail.com, or find us and follow us on Instagram at Picnic Climbers. We look forward to speaking to you again next week.
That's it.
Bye for now.
Bye for now. Thanks so much for joining us today.
If you enjoyed listening along, be sure to subscribe and leave a comment on iTunes.
If you want to get in touch, follow us on Instagram at Picnic Climbers or email us at picnicclimbers@gmail.com.
Until next time, Picnic Climbers.